Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Love and life, I think.
Why are you calling from a different area code today?
Well, you see, I'm babysitting my grandfather. Grandfather's 96, and I would much rather... Babysit a two-year-old. I'm just being honest. My mom and dad went out of town for the weekend because my dad has knee surgery on Monday. They needed to run away for a little bit. Totally understood that. Took a day off of work. Here I am in Port Orchard watching my grandfather. Oh, God. I don't want to get old. Somebody shoot me.
Yeah, I don't want to get old either.
Yeah.
We have our other co-host on the line, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. I'm doing better than Craig.
Hmm.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you guys said you guys are going to work out some little new segment last week, so...
Yep. I got
go
an
ahead,
intro.
Get the intro going.
I got an intro right here that I wrote up while I was spoon-feeding my grandfather. People say stupid things... Wait, scratch that from the record. I got a little oatmeal on this. People saying stupid things is a problem, but in the world of pro wrestling, it is an epidemic. Here with the moron of the week, it's our very own Chris Couture.
This week, well, there's so much to choose from this week. It's like,
pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, you had the thing with JTG, and I've been AW's been going off the last hour or so on Twitter. but I think the one everybody was thinking about was Kevin Nash. So
that's right.
Is that what you guys were thinking about?
Oh yeah.
Actually, no. I was thinking about the woman beater.
He didn't say anything.
He's still a moron, though.
I don't know that he did it.
That's true.
I'm going with something.
He could have been
verbal.
Yelling obscenities while he was hitting her.
I guess he could have. You
just
stupid
saying.
Bitch, and punched her in the face or something, yeah.
Just saying.
Anyway, I'm going to go with everybody probably thinking of which would be Kevin Nash. And did you get the stuff I sent you, Craig?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I was just making sure. Anyway, he did a Grandland.com interview this week, and I think the main passage that stuck out was he said when Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero hugged in the ring at WrestleMania 20, that was the end of the business. Has the business been the same since that WrestleMania? Has it come close to the Austin era? Has it come close to the NWO or the Hogan era? You put two guys that were great workers that were the same height as the referees, and I'm sorry, man, are you going to watch a porno movie with a guy with a 3-inch dick? Well, you got me there. Even if you're not gay, you will not watch a porno with a guy with a 3-inch pecker. That's not the standard in porno films. So you put a 5'7" guy as your world champion. This was, I read it and it sounds so absurd, but it's hard for me to believe that he actually believes that, so I don't know, you know, I don't know. I think he was just trolling everybody, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was just trolling everybody.
And he got a reaction.
Yeah, he got a reaction, I mean, but, I mean, it's that's like really dickish trolling, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this, I mean, it would have been one thing if he had blamed it on, you know, Brett or Sean, who are still both alive, but, you know, you're going after a couple of dead guys, and I know a lot of people probably don't mind him going after, like, Benoit, but, you know, Eddie's a different story.
Well, he said the one thing that makes somebody defend Chris Benoit. That's the only thing. So. Craig, what do you think?
I dislike that man. I just do. I mean, he's always ruffled people's feathers. He's always saying stuff to get some kind of reaction, and I'm tired of him. Just go limp away into the sunset.
Yeah, I mean, yep. I was hoping that the Ricky Morton thing was the end of his stupidity, but apparently not.
Oh, and he did bring up, like, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan as being kind of like that, too, so, in the article. So.
Yeah, but, of course, you know, he doesn't mention how he was the worst drawing WWE or WWF champion ever, or how when he was booking Nitro, that's when it went down to hell before, you know, before it really fell off the cliff.
Did you gauge your popularity by being noticed in an airport? That made no sense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet the majority of celebrities get recognized in airports are probably around the size of Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero. Or smaller
celebrities.
People.
Celebrities that get seen at the airport want to be seen at the airport. Otherwise, they're coming in with baseball caps and sunglasses and no makeup and, you know, trying to just blend in. I mean, you have to go to, I think celebrities, most celebrities, unless they have some unique facial figure, you know, would have to, you know, basically come all, you know, dressed up to get noticed.
So you're telling me the time I saw one Ken Anderson in the airport wearing a WWE cap and a WrestleMania sweatshirt was probably not a good idea that he wanted to get recognized?
Probably not.
Huh. It's weird. After the day after
and as someone who has had people walk up to them at an airport and recognize them and know who I am, I mean, you know.
I take it that only happens like in city a year.
Well, it's usually his family.
Whatever.
But it's a... With the business never the same since then. I don't know. I'm sure WWE has had many good years financially since then. Probably more than even before, right? Money wise,
I would imagine. I mean, you know, they were called the vanilla midgets back in the day. They weren't used correctly in WCW. With that said, they weren't used correctly in WWE. When they first got brought over, but, you know.
Well, I think that Benoit getting the title, I think that was just more like a gold watch than anything else. I think Eddie got it because he was really becoming a huge star at that time, you know.
Sure.
If he wouldn't have passed away, he would have become a much bigger star, I believe.
I agree.
Yeah, he'd probably still be around today.
Yeah. I mean, he'd been a huge personality. Yeah. Benoit was just—he was a guy. He could go in there, have a good look, have great matches. Wasn't much on interviews, but it was fun to watch him work. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait till we have YouTube footage of some, there'll be some convention or autograph signing and a drunk ass Chavo Guerrero will run into Kevin Nash and start a fight with him like he tried to do with Vern Gagne. And he's all Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And yeah, there's been plenty. I mean, guys, look at, I mean, he pointed out, well, Shawn Michaels is like 6 feet tall or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he was a couple inches high, short, taller than Benoit Guerrero. Okay, big deal. I've seen Benoit and Shawn in those matches. Benoit was a bigger guy in some of those matches they had together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Jericho to this day still wears lifts. Come on.
I mean, it just looks like guys like Roddy.
Hold on, real quick, guys. I have a question for everybody. I'm using some new headsets that I got, and I'm hearing the chair kind of choppy.
Choppy, pee-pee.
I mean, do you guys sound fine to each other, or is it just me?
Yeah, I
sound fine. Sure
sounds fine.
All right, well, these fucking hits are starting. I gotta take them back.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
But anyway, to me, the moron of the week was the guy who, what was his name? Jackson Andrews or something?
I think, Craig, don't you have the thing I sent you?
Yeah.
Can you kind of read that?
Yeah, I can read that right now. We got a little bit of news this week, and something just went down within the last few hours. And let me pull it up right here. AW has been fired from the WWE. WWE informed Abraham Washington, whose real name was Brian Josie, today he is going to be released. Just a few weeks after his comparison to his team and Kobe Bryant's rape allegations in a Colorado hotel. These allegations were made on Raw. Of course, everybody knows the situation. How he was saying the what is the name of the team? The Impact Players.
Titus O'Neil, I think, was the one he was talking about.
Yeah, he said he's like Kobe Bryant in a Colorado hotel room, unstoppable. In response, Washington wrote on his Twitter page. The AW Promotions is no more, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your support and hate. It's been a great run. Now I get to do me, which isn't PG. I've offended the wrong people that have taught me how to have a all caps attitude. It was in the WWE that made me bold, and now it has turned my hits back on me. He uses no punctuation, so please forgive me. Let this be a lesson to up-and-coming talent in the WWE. Do not try to be great like The Rock or Stone Cold. Yes, when I thought AW, I always thought, gosh, The Rock and Stone Cold. WWE is not the same. Just be normal, shut up, and be a yes man so you can collect your check and feel like something special. Hashtag sellouts. I remember a time when the WWE didn't care about breaking the mold, but now everyone is afraid of their own shadow. Thanks to the fans who showed me support over the whole Kobe thing and those that I have set, I apologize again. Remember, it's entertainment, folks. I really do hope Linda wins the election because if not, then all this BS has been for nothing.
What's up with all the black guys in the WWE being all uppity this week?
I don't know. Well, like you need to be told that you can't make that joke on their show. I mean, that's like common sense, ain't it?
I'll say this again. When that joke was told, I kind of smirked, and I was like, wow, that's about 10 years too late. But you know what? My 6-year-old son was sitting right next to me, and I wasn't, you know, diving over the couch to cover his ears. I mean, he didn't get it. He wouldn't have got it. There was.
I mean, just in the whole environment, the way things are now, you just know you can't say that.
I agree, but at the same time, he didn't hurt nobody.
Well, no, he didn't hurt anybody, but, you know, there's enough groups out there.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
But, I mean, it really sucks that you have to be so freaking PC now. It's just, takes the fun out of everything. I mean, it was, I laughed my ass off at when he said, when I heard it. I mean, I thought it was one of the funniest things they said.
He didn't laugh, I think you know? He did it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I totally agree. I'm like, did he just say, and then I rewound it. Yeah, he did. You know, but
I mean, this thing's been PG for a while. This was nothing new. This is not like the rating just got installed this week.
It's nothing
But he probably thought because he wasn't cussing or saying anything like overly graphic that he could get away with it, but it's still, you know.
But it's nothing that Letterman or Conan or Leno or, you know, whoever. Nobody. I've heard a lot worse, and I don't know what the big.
What's the deal with those primetime players, guys? Everybody that gets involved with them gets fired. Goldust got fired for planning out a move in their match. Did you ever see that move on Yoshi's Hot Suit that they did?
I don't think I did.
It was, I think it was Titus O'Neil picked him up for a power bomb, and then Darren Young like came off the top rope with a cross body, and he landed right on his neck. Like, killed him. I think that's what Goldust got fired for.
Huh.
Or he put that, they were working on that move, and he was the one that okayed it, so.
Hmm.
Those are like two big guys to be doing something like that.
I mean, I don't know if something that's like a fire should be fired for that and just tell them, you know, don't do shit like that no more. And I don't know.
And shouldn't it have been the worker's problem to, you know, say something like, hey, I don't feel comfortable doing this move?
Yeah.
And he might have. You just might have said it in Japanese.
Do what?
I said Yoshi might have said something. He just might have said something in Japanese and they thought he was saying okay.
They fucked them up. I meant
Titus and/or Neil. They're trying to look impressive. They're not going to say. They're probably thinking they can pull it off and become stars or look, you know, badass doing it. They're not going to. Yeah.
He said hi, but he was waving hi to somebody. He wasn't saying yes, right?
Something like that. But actually, I was actually referring to another story. Seeing Craig had to go get all out of order.
Well, it was in a certain order.
Yeah,
so that's why I did
that.
That
was the first thing on my list. I don't have.
You need to learn how to improvise. But my favorite part about the whole AEW thing was Dave's comment on the update thing.
What did he say?
He said he put like in parentheses that this is like the best way or the best way to get your job back. I forgot. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. But it was actually fucking therapy.
Okay.
If my computer would work faster. He said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Go ahead and continue. I gotta find it.
What do you want me to continue with? More news? What?
Go to the Rosa story.
Oh goodness.
He said this is actually the smart way to get your job back. Is what he said.
Hmm.
Which, you know, it's kind of true. I mean, Vince always takes back the ones that give him the most shit. That is like, if you sue him, it's like you're gonna get your job back eventually.
And just don't accuse him of grabbing your nuts. Like Nails did.
Well, go ahead, Craig.
Okay, sorry about that. Our next story, Rose Mendez, the victim of alleged assault by her boyfriend. Melina Rocca, a.k.a. Rosa Mendez, was the victim of an alleged assault on the 5th of this month. Rocca, 32. Wow, she's 32. Was, according to the San Antonio police report, claimed she had been beaten by her fiancé, former WWE wrestler Steven Andrews Slocum, known by most as Andy Slocum. The 7-foot, 310-pound bodybuilder who was briefly the bodyguard for Tyson Kidd in 2010, using the name Jackson Andrews, not to be confused with the other guy. What ended up coming out of this is that Slocum had been living a double life. What? Living in Las Vegas with Rocca and in Houston with Amber Stovall. I have no idea who that is. Who had been dating since 2008. according to one person very close to the situation, Stovall was the real fiancé and Rocca was the other woman he had been breaking up with and getting back together with. Stovall noted that Slocum had never been violent toward her. Friends of the couple noted that Slocum, if you saw him with Stovall, it was the last person you'd ever think he would be violent with a woman. Stovall noted that Slocum had never so much raised his voice to her. Stovall had no idea about Rocca, and when she found out on the 7th, she broke off the engagement.
Well, he only hit the one that he was planning to get rid of, so I can understand that.
Well.
Yeah, and, you know.
After you hit a girl, you'd hope, she'll leave you alone.
Well, she's Latina, They have a fiery attitude, so I can see how he probably want to have to smack her around. But,
maybe she was
It's like, I mean, man. This dude was, he was Tyson Kidd's bodyguard for like 2 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Okay, he's that big. He's a big, big-ass dude, but that's actually pretty crazy. I mean, having, living a double life, it's like, how do you fucking manage that? How do you hide your cell phone? Because girls go through your cell phone, especially considering him and Rosa were having issues for, like, years, apparently. This dude had to go through a lot
impressive.
Of trouble to do this.
It's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Now that, like, you're cheating on somebody, you're living, like, two different lives with two different people. Not like you're just getting, like, you're meet up at a hotel to have sex or something. You live in one place in one state with one, and you're living in one place with the other.
Yeah, like when he's just with the one in Houston and he'd get a call from Rosa, he'd probably have to go hide in the garage to take the call, and same thing when he'd be in Vegas. I mean, that's a lot of trouble to do. And
although being a wrestler is a good profession for doing that, I would think.
Just saying.
And then,
she heard the story and she fucking dropped him. Most women, women can be. So,
closed all the accounts and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I found like funny was reading about how he got heat because I guess when they first started going out or when he first came up that she just kept going on to everybody about how he was going to be a future world champion and it just pissed everyone off. But since he'd kind of been there and he was the new one, he was the one that took the brunt of it. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, that tag team division, with these personalities in tag team division, bad stuff's happening. People getting fired. People getting beat up by their boyfriends. I don't know.
Well, go ahead, Craig. I know you got one more.
I've got many more. Do you want me to just go through the whole thing before we get on our little topic tonight?
Yeah, the Richard kind of just lineups for upcoming pay-per-view, so.
Got one more story. TNA Impact is staying live through the month of September. TNA President Dixie Carter announced on the 6th that Impact Wrestling will be staying live weekly through September. TNA was originally slotted to return to their old taped format beginning in September. Spike and TNA continue to discuss continuing the live weekly broadcasts beyond the month of September as well.
Well, this is a real shitty news tidbit topic.
What are you talking about?
What?
It's a boring news topic. I mean, shit, what are we going to talk about, the WWE financials next time?
Well, I was
no, I'll leave that to
because I've been enjoying Impact and I've been enjoying the live show, so. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch Impact last night, Craig?
I did.
I think
this
is I don't know what this biker group is. That what they are? To look like a biker group? This Aces and Eights group.
Sure.
And I thought of the perfect name for it. The leader could be Anarchia from Mexican America, and they could call them the Sons of Anarchia.
Hmm.
They like that, Ed.
Yes, they can bring a bunch of guys
funny.
From Ohio Valley back.
Now continue. Doing that joke.
Speaking of TNA, they have a pay-per-view on this Sunday. The TNA champion Austin Aries will face Bobby Roode. The loser will receive no rematch. In a ladder match, we have AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle versus Christopher Daniels and versus Samoa Joe. They have a tables match with Jeff Hardy, James Storm, Bully Ray, and Robbie E. Gosh, I wonder who's going through the table on that one. A Falls Count Anywhere match with Ken Anderson, Rob Van Dam, Pope, and Magnus. The TNA Knockouts champion, Miss Tessmacher, will be battling one love-smitten Madison Rain. Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. Should be a fun match. And the TNA X Division champion, Zema Ion, will face Kenny King.
I wonder if Earl's going to be the referee for that knockout match.
I would bet a small fortune on it. And I would bet that Madison Rain actually takes the title from Mrs. Tessmacher's beautiful backside.
Speaking of women, they're going to be showing Gail Kim's wedding on the Food Network, I think, late next month.
I did see that. That's kind of crazy. My wife and I are big fans of Restaurant Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be cool.
I guess that's the show her husband hosts.
Yeah, he does Restaurant and what is it, Dinner Impossible or something like that?
I'm not 100% sure. But they're going to be calling the show Wedding Impossible.
I stopped watching the Food Network when they got rid of the Japanese Iron Chef.
With how popular the Food Network is, so that could be some good publicity for them.
Hey, we've gotten some of my best ideas off that channel.
I bet you they don't even mention TNA.
Probably not.
Yeah. It seems like every time someone from TNA gets to do something, they like to totally forget to mention it.
I pointed out to my wife, I said, hey, that Gail Kim girl, and I pointed to the TV, she's marrying, you know, the chef Robert, I can't remember his last name. Robert Irvine. And my wife cocks her head sideways and goes, how in the world did they meet? And I was like, I don't know. Valid question, but I have no idea. Anyway, there's also another pay-per-view. Actually, there's two pay-per-views on tomorrow, but Katrina didn't send me the UFC pay-per-view is on tomorrow, of course, with Benson Henderson and Frankie Edgar. Yes, it does. That's going to be on.
Not in my world.
I am so excited to watch that fight tomorrow. Frankie Edgar and Benson Henderson. But before that even goes on, there is an ROH Boiling Point high pay-per-view that starts tomorrow.
Did you see the lineup for this thing?
Yeah, I did.
What has happened to ROH as far as talent-wise?
I don't know.
No offense to our very, 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 very good friend Bob Evans, but Bob Evans is getting a TV title match.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Dude, I want to wrestle Bob Evans. I emailed him. I said, I want to have a match with you. That guy is amazing.
I think he's the future of the company.
He likes to wrestle for an hour. I don't know if he can go an hour, Craig.
As long as we're including dinner afterwards, we can go an hour. So, well, anyway, this pay-per-view, I don't know if it's like a holding place for pay-per-views, if they're just trying to get one in, but...
it was just announced like a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
I think so.
It sounds like somebody just threw out there like at the last second. I don't think it's been promoted for long.
Before I get in too far, if you haven't seen last week's ROH TV, it is the rubber match with Mike Bennett and Lance Storm, and a heck of a match. Great match. So... And there was also a great, great promo by one Eddie Kingston. We'll get into that in just a minute. The pay-per-view goes as follows. Matt Taven versus QT Marshall versus Antonio Thomas versus Marcegella? Just go
I don't know.
Anyway, that feller there and the other three guys are wrestling. I'm sure that will not make it to TV. As we were just talking about, Brutal Bob Evans will face Adam Cole for the ROH TV Championship. I am giddy for this. I think it's going to be awesome. Another one that I really am excited to see and perverse desire to see, Mike Mondo versus one Roderick Strong. Okay.
It'll be okay. Everybody's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Best of three falls, Jay Lethal versus Tommaso Ciampa. We have, this one's going to be.
I still don't understand why Eric Stevens changed his name, dude.
Never mind, I'm not going to argue it. This one will be hard-hitting. Michael Elgin versus Charlie Haas. We have Eddie Edwards and Sarah Del Rey versus Mike Bennett and Maria. Love her.
Yeah, but I don't want to see Maria wrestle Sarah Del Rey.
Yeah, she's
going to get fucked up.
Yeah. The Briscoes versus Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Corino. That should be a fun brawl. And as stated, Eddie Kingston will face Kevin Steen for the ROH TV champion. This is champion versus champion, Eddie Kingston being the grand champion of Chikara, and, of course, Kevin Steen being the champion of ROH. Only Kevin Steen's title is on the line. And as I said, check out Eddie Kingston's awesome promo on Kevin Steen and on the wrestling world, and gave a big shout out to one Larry Sweeney and almost teared up. It was awesome.
Is he like a jobber in the Urban Wrestling Federation? But anyway, if I was Jimmy Jacobs, I would be wanting to kick Doc Young's ass right now for telling that sorority story.
Well, I don't want to tell you.
I mean, that's a little embarrassing.
Well, yeah.
But
I think
I love ROH, but I think I'll be missing this pay-per-view. It's nuts. I mean, maybe if it was like $2, I'd watch it, but not a good lineup. And then, of course, the UFC, I'll probably be watching the UFC, and I won't be paying for it. But, you know, I can only name like one match on that one, so it's not much of a show. So
I might watch I saw today that the Batista fight is going to be on DirecTV. I might watch that in October just because he's fighting.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
If anything, I think they're trying to make him think he's fighting for Rashad
Evans.
They'll
make some money because people are going to get confused when they see who he's fighting.
Rashid Evans, not Rashad.
So, you know, there's some stupid people out there, so they'll make some money just off of that dude's name. But that could be interesting.
Oh, yeah, I hope he loses and comes back to wrestling.
We have one more tidbit of news information, and we'll wrap this segment of the news up. We have an updated SummerSlam lineup, and I think it's going to be pretty darn good. I'm looking forward to this one. We have Chris Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler, which will be Chris Jericho's send-off to go tour with Fozzy. We have Daniel Bryan versus Kane, which is, well, it's Daniel Bryan.
I think it'll
Bryan
be a good match.
I think it will, too.
Everything with Daniel Bryan is a good match. But do we know if they're going to get Charlie Sheen in? I mean, did that go anywhere? Or what?
They haven't mentioned anything about it in a couple of weeks, so I don't know.
Well, they keep plugging anger management, you know, kind of in a way, in a suitable way on shows.
True. I don't know. It's hard to say. They haven't really committed to it, but they have hinted at it, you know, even with Daniel Bryan's Rorschach test a couple weeks ago. Who knows? Speaking of Daniel Bryan, I found out that the WWE is coming to my neck of the woods in October. And I'm excited because the two main events they've listed are Big Show versus John Cena inside of a 15-foot-high steel cage. And they also have listed Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. So I'm very excited for this.
What are the odds those matches will still be happening by the time that comes around?
Yeah, it's possible that we'll have something completely different, but hopefully they'll keep one of those.
Ed, did you go to Raw?
Actually, no, I ended up missing it.
Hmm.
Oh.
Well, you didn't miss much, except for the Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I know. So shut up. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know, Shawn Michaels thing at the end of the show?
Yeah.
I saw it on YouTube. It was pretty cool.
Oh, there you go. That's like being
How long before they had to take it down, or is it still up?
I don't know. You can probably still find it up there somewhere.
Yeah.
Every time somebody takes something down, somebody else is putting it back up. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Continuing on, the WWE World Champion Sheamus will defend against Alberto Del Rio. I've really loved the build for this so far. They're putting Sheamus over like a madman. He's just winning matches. And
better use of touts. Him doing touts instead of these fucked up fucking fans.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's true.
We have Jericho touting Ziggler getting rolled up and beat the other night.
We have WWE Champion CM Punk versus John Cena versus The Big Show in a triple threat match. I can see you're very excited about this one.
Mm-hmm.
And last but certainly not least, it'll probably be the main event, Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman versus Triple H in his corner, possibly one Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. You know, that's going to be like the ultimate fuck you to CM Punk, because he was probably thinking, you know, was a build-up, okay, John Cena's going to be in the match, I finally get to be in the main event, and you know, come the day of the show, Hunter's going to go decide to go on last.
Well,
I figured they were going on last anyway with Brock in the match.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. They like to put John Cena in the main event.
Mm.
But to me... It's bad luck for Brock if they go on last, because you know they like to send the audience home happy, so that means if they go on last, Brock's doing the job.
Not necessarily.
When was the last time they actually had to heel screw somebody over big time or something like that? Or
John Moore and I just beat John Cena.
Gotcha there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but that was like, you know, it's not like it's ever like the, well, I guess they did it to John Cena, like the, didn't Wade Barrett and his crew just beat him one time too?
Yeah, he lost a match to Wade Barrett.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I guess it'll be an okay show. I mean, I think Brock and Hunter will be good. I'm pretty sure Hunter's going to want to go over in the end and just gonna kill Brock.
I don't know. I don't think he cares about that shit much, about shit like that anymore. I don't know.
We'll find out. We'll definitely find out come Sunday or next Sunday.
And the internet will explode again like it did when John Cena beat Brock Lesnar in his first match back in 10 years.
Yeah. Craig will be under my four again. But
you
anyway, are we done with the news topics?
We are done with the news topics.
You know, I was looking at Batista's Wikipedia here when I was looking to see when that fight was. And I didn't know he was you were talking about the Iron Chef, and he was a judge on the Iron Chef one time. Did you ever see that episode?
Actually, I saw it.
Oh, did you?
Not.
I don't think I saw the whole episode, but I saw part of it. But, yeah, he was there. Yeah.
What a shitty show that is, by the way.
It ain't shit compared to the original. The original is one of the best cooking shows ever.
No, but they ain't got Gordon Ramsay. I ain't watching.
Oh, whatever. They had Iron Chef Chen and Iron Chef Kobayashi. Those dudes were badass. The Japanese version had freaking storylines, dude. They had fucking factions that were trying to bring down the Iron Chef. It was fucking great.
I remember when that one dude got offended when Bobby Flay stood on his cutting board.
I don't remember that.
Well, so you must not be that big of a fan then.
I'll tell you.
Well, anyway, we can segue because we were talking about the Iron Chefs who are Japanese. So we can talk about what I wanted to talk about, which I know Craig didn't bother to do any homework, even though I gave him 2 weeks to watch a couple matches and to read a couple wiki pages. But he's been slumming. Oh, the show's going to suck. I don't want to do any work for it. I don't want to be a professional. And
yeah, you know,
so we'll see if he can remember, because I know he's seen everything.
Oh yeah,
So,
been a while.
So we'll see. And then I gave Couture some homework. I don't know if he
watched
did any
match.
Of it.
His Aja Kong Toyota match.
Uh-huh.
Is that the one I was supposed to watch?
Dude, I gave you like a whole list of them.
You said, all you said was, this is like one
dude,
match in the mix that I got on Facebook.
I put like 7-8 matches on there.
No,
he only
sent
the link to one.
The thing that you did a couple of days ago, or whenever, when you reminded me and Craig, you said the Aja Kong Toyota match. That was the only match listed. That's the only one I watched. I didn't watch any more.
Actually, wasn't the match that we were talking about. I wanted you to watch the Toyota the one that beat out Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels for Match of the Year. That's the one I was talking about.
It didn't beat out Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels in the Match of the Year.
What?
It did not beat out Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels in the Match of the Year.
Well, what year was Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon?
94.
Oh, 94?
Yeah. In the ladder match,
I thought
what you're talking about?
I thought it was 95.
Oh.
They had a ladder match in 95, too.
Well, I guess it'd be not that
very poorly researched.
But anyway, that was a match. It didn't have Isaac Kong in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But, you can go to Facebook right now and click on your messages, and you'll see, like, a whole shitload of matches I put on there for you.
I'm going to Facebook, all right. I'm going to prove myself right.
Okay. I'm going to it too. I'm going to prove you wrong.
This is great radio.
Okay, the last thing I just sent you was Aja Kong, Mayu Toyota, but if you look above it, there's Aja Kong versus Bull Nakano. There's Akira Hokuto versus Toyota. There's the three Toyota Hamada, Dynamite Kinsuke and her partner matches. There's Hokuto versus Kindora, or I don't know how to say her name. There's Toyota versus Yamada, the hair match. There's Aja Kong versus Akira Hokuto. There's Mimi Toyota versus Kyoko Inu, which is the one I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right there. I even sent them to Craig.
Yeah.
And you expected me to watch all of this.
Sure.
You had 2 weeks. You're talking about how you're going to hook up your Xbox to your TV and watch them on there.
Yeah, so most of these matches are at the minimum of a half hour, so
it's more like 40 minutes. But anyway,
here's the message Ed said. He says, I guess we know who the moron of the week is this week. LOL, you fuckers better have been doing your homework.
I sent this
for
one,
sure.
I sent all the matches just to Chris Cottrell.
Would you please let me speak? Okay. For sure, watch the Toyota match that beat out HBK Razor match.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one to Edward and Craig. You know, for all three of us. That's the one I checked.
Sure.
Just a quick note,
but you could have checked your other one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact is, I did check the other one, so say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I want to talk about All Japan Women's Wrestling because lately I've been watching a shitload of it, and I personally think it's some of the best wrestling that I've ever seen in my life.
Agreed.
I mean, the matches are like, these girls, and some of them didn't look like girls, let's be honest, but they wrestled like, basically, it's like watching Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, and Jushin Liger basically wrestling with tits.
I'm going to pass on that one.
That's the quality of the work rate that was in these matches. I mean, even the big ones, like Aja Kong and Bull Nakano were like the monsters and kind of heavy, not like super, super, they weren't like Bertha Faye, but I mean, they were big girls and they could work their asses off. I mean, they were freaking awesome. And I know you've seen some Bull Nakano and Hokuto in the WWF and WCW.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you remember those matches. But anyway, so in the 90s, they in the mid-90s, they were on TV in Japan, and they were, like, one of the hottest things, and they just had matches, you know, awesome matches, like Toyota, my I can't even say her name. I mean, that's fine.
Manami Toyota.
I'm just going to say Toyota. Toyota basically had 10 five-star matches ranked by Dave Meltzer on the Wrestling Observer, and there are hundreds of thousands of men wrestlers who haven't had more than one or a couple, you know.
To Japan, he wanted to get laid.
Well, she was pretty hot. She's probably the hottest out of all of them. But, I mean, this chick had a motor on her. I mean, in the 60-minute match that won the which was five stars and won the match of the year in 95, I mean, she's wrestling for an hour, and she could still just turn it up and start sprinting across the room and throw these awesome fucking drop kicks. I mean, she was just fantastic. And, you know, people, you know, get impressed with when Kofi can jump to, like, the top rope, or he jumps to the guys that are, you know, in the corner. This chick could fucking just jump to the top rope like nothing, just like a springboard, and just come off of it with a splash or a plunge or something. I mean, she was an incredible athlete. I mean, she really was freaking. I mean, after watching so many matches of her, because that's the ones I've been watching the most matches of. I mean, I think she's just as good as Eddie, Chris, Dean, in any way. I mean, she's just as good as all of them.
I take points away for her screaming all during the match.
That's true.
Yeah, but you might not like the screaming, but every time she did that, she got the crowd going crazy. And what's so weird about these All Japan women's matches is you always hear how the Japanese crowd's different, that they're quiet and they only react to certain things. All these matches that I've been watching, I mean, they got the crowd going out of their freaking minds.
Says here she was born March 2nd, 1971. She is, in fact, 41 years old, Ed. Not out of your wheelhouse there. She's
just a few years older than me, and she still wrestles. She comes over for Chikara every once in a while, and I'm kind of hoping maybe by some miracle they'll bring her over WrestleMania weekend for either Chikara or Shimmer. I mean, that would be awesome.
Sure. Says she's billed as 150 pounds. She is 5'6" and debuted on August 5th, 1987.
You know, she's 5'6", and she would be able to, and she could jump up to the top of the rope like nothing. I mean, that just shows you how much of an athlete she had. She just, like, had springs in her legs. I mean, you've seen the drop kicks that she could throw. I mean, if you close Bob Holly or any of those guys that are supposed to have a Duck Furnace, he blows Duck Furnace's drop kicks away. I mean, she's just, you know, awesome.
I saw her do one. She did one outside of the ring on Bonacano.
I got a list.
And then she used, like, one of her moves was she'd go if the opponent was outside the ring, she'd come running and do like a flying dropkick through like the middle rope, and she'd almost always, like, the spot was actually for her to miss it, where she'd like wipe out. She wasn't afraid of taking any bumps. I mean, I saw her get power slammed off the top turnbuckle to the outside by Inu in the match. I mean, she was kind of like a dynamite kid in a way in some of the bumps she took.
Kevin, 1992, Dave Meltzer gave her 3 of her matches as 5 stars. In 93, 2 of them. In 94, we have 3 of them. In 95, it looks like there's 3 of them as well. Match of the year in 1993 with Yoshina Yamada. And they wrestled Dynamite, Kenetai, and Ozaki. And also in 95, they also got the match of the year. She also got the match of the year on May 7th in Tokyo, Japan, against Kenyoki Inui. Is that how you said it there, Ed? Sorry?
I think the last name would just be like Inu or something like that. Kind of close
to Inoue, I think it is. Is it Inoue?
Sure. In a way. Yeah.
And
that match, that's the one that I watched. It's 60 minutes of them power bombing, power slamming. I mean, just beating the crap out of each other. And I don't know if you think the same way, Craig, but didn't you think she kind of was trying to do like a female Ultimate Warrior gimmick?
Sure. I'll give you that.
Yeah, she had like kind of Ultimate Warrior makeup, and she'd be like real colorful, like the Ultimate Warrior. And she wasn't like muscular or like super like big or anything, but she would try and be like a power wrestler. Right. She actually like from the Dream Slam to this match, she looked like she had gained some like weight, like trying to be bigger. But she, they just had a crazy match. There's one where they actually kind of blew a spot, but it actually looked even better because it looks like Toyota gets killed on it. But that was a heck of a match. And then, like, you know, we've all heard Dave Meltzer talk about the hair match she had with Yamada, who was her tag team partner and sometimes rival, and he talked about how basically everyone in the building was in tears after the match and what happened after the match. Like, it's basically the Japanese version of the Parade of Champions when Kerry beat Ric Flair. I guess it would be the best way to describe it, where she wins a match, and they're going to shave her partner's hair, but, usually, like, when you win the hair match, you get to cut the first strands off of your opponent. Well, they give her the scissors, but instead of cutting Yamada's hair, she just grabs her hair and starts cutting some of her hair off, and then goes psycho and tries to attack the guy who's going to shave her, and they have to hold her down while they're shaving Yamada. I mean, it's actually a pretty intense scene, and, I mean, and the match was just awesome. To me, they're like a female version of, I would say, the Rock and Roll Express, but with two Ricky Mortons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I mean, she was just so awesome. And then I guess like the next most famous or best one after Toyota would be Akiri Hokuto, who wrestled for WCW a little bit. So I would imagine you all got to see those matches. And to me, she was like her gimmick to me was she was kind of like a female Great Muda in a way.
All right, I'll play ball
with you,
sure.
Well, she was always coming in like with like real, like there's kinds of matches with Toyota where she comes out wearing like a black wedding dress, or she'd always have like a real kabuki theater costume. I mean, and like swords and everything. And she was pretty good. I mean, I've seen some matches with her where she's wrestling Agent Kong. And she just had knee surgery like 2 weeks before, and you can tell she's hurt, but every transition she made was just perfect. I mean, she was like really, really good. I mean, almost as good as Toyota. And isn't she the final WCW World Champion or Women's Champion?
Yeah, I think so. She beat like Medusa in like the tournament final, and then we never heard from her again.
Yeah, Big Fire definitely, I think, they got rid of Medusa. But she actually, in that tournament, wrestled twice. She wrestled under a mask against Medusa and lost, and then she ended up beating her in the finals. And they had like two matches on pay-per-view. And they were both a badass, from what I remember.
You know, she's a regular at Tulalip Championship Wrestling, right?
Get out of here.
I swear to God, she wrestles there all the time.
You talking about Malaya Haskaya?
No, I'm talking about Akira Hokuto.
She wrestles for Tulalip.
Probably four times a year.
Seriously, wow.
Yeah, she just happens to live in the area, and she takes a little bit of work every so often with Tulalip.
She lives in the area. She doesn't live in Japan.
Right.
I think you're thinking of a different person, Trey.
You're thinking of Malaya Osaka.
Yeah, you're thinking of Malaya Osaka.
I'm pretty sure it's her. Hold on.
No, it's not. She's married to Kintsugi Sasaki and lives in Japan.
No, dude.
Trey, that's not going to be her. That'd be even worse than the Strike Force.
Brian said he might come out of retirement and wrestle her on the Tulalip Coast.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That just, you just made the whole show right there.
And the great motto is working indies here in Dallas.
Telling you.
Oh, dude, it's Malaya in the sky. She just retired this past year, too.
I'm telling you, she's... Okay, I'm going to find... Okay,
oh,
I know,
man.
Layla Hodge is there. So, anyway.
Well, Patriot, you saw the matches with Hulk. So what did you think of her?
Are you talking to me? I'm still trying to find out if she works for Toyota. Oh, it's Osaka.
Right, told you.
I'm going to kill Charlie Short. Anyway, it's a long story.
I'm about to say, how much money is Layla making? Bring her in. It's like you got to be the most the biggest indie in the country or something and making shitloads of money.
You're going to fire in 4 times a year. Is Kisaki going to come with her?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was awesome.
No, yeah.
But what did she think of her contract?
Akira Hokuto, she was fine. I don't really remember. I remember she wore like a gas mask or something. Oxygen mask or something.
You know
what
that was? She's also like, she wrestled a match where she basically got her neck broken and in the second fall, the three-fall match, and kept wrestling and basically was holding her head straight during the match with like at least one or both hands during the whole match. I mean, she's real famous for being like super dramatic or like and fighting with injuries, and she's also in a real famous 5-star match where I can't say the name of her opponent, Jinoba Kindori. And they had a match on Dream Slam 1, and this her opponent looked like a dude. I mean, she's kind of flat-chested and just kind of the way she carried herself. I think, like, maybe her gimmick was, like, an amateur wrestler or, like, an MMA fighter or something. But they had a match on the first Dream Slam where Hokuto was supposed to, you know, get some color, but she wasn't cutting herself. They had, like, one of the guys outside do it for her. And this dude got a little carried away and went New Jack on her. And she fucking bled gushers like this whole match. I mean, her blonde hair was like covered in blood. And it was just crazy. And it was just, they just beat the hell out of each other for like, for quite a while. I mean, I watched this one too. And it was really, really good. And then like at the next Dream Slam, the opponent ended up winning when she like really, like she hurt Hokuto. But, yeah,
real quick, I was on YouTube right here looking at some of my subscriptions on YouTube, and I started playing this match. It was Ted DiBiase and Steve Williams against Brad Armstrong and Brickhouse Brown. This happens to be the match where Doc gets the elbow in the eye, I just noticed, from Brad Armstrong.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was on. I didn't know they had video.
You didn't know what?
I didn't know that was on, like, video.
Yeah, I just watching it right now, and it's the one where he had to get 108 stitches in his eye and wrestled like the Rock and Roll Express later that night.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Send me a link to that one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess
sorry
the next one we... No, I'm sorry, what?
I said sorry to interrupt. I just...
Craig, have you found the right person on Wikipedia yet?
Yeah, I found it.
Any details you'd like to give us of Akira Hokuto? I can't even say this thing.
Hmm. Yeah, apparently on Wikipedia. Her first match was May 28th, 1985. She retired April 7th, 2002. She was born July 13th, 1967. She is at present time 45 years old. She has the height of 5'6". And her build weight was 130 pounds and has never, ever, ever wrestled for Toyota Championship Wrestling.
I think Frank Trump the strike. strike force on this one today.
Somebody that has been in Triple H Championship Wrestling has been in the ring with one Akira Hokuto, and there was my confusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can understand the confusion with the eyes.
Oh, yeah, they all look the same. Everybody knows that.
That's terrible, Craig. How dare you?
I know.
That's why they fired AW. They thought it was JTG.
Mm.
Did y'all notice that they had, speaking of like people who look alike, did you notice that they hired Kung Lee to be the referee, a referee for WWE?
What?
Like a couple weeks ago, I saw Kung Lee on Raw.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't him. It just looked like the dude.
I'm pretty sure it was Kung Lee, dude. He needs a job. He's about to retire.
Sure. He's acting and all that.
Okay, well, another one, I guess one of the other famous ones that has been in America that people have seen would be Bull Nakano,
sure,
who was famous for having this, like, foot-long spiked hair. Like,
yeah.
If you've seen Christina Von Erie, she ain't got nothing on what Bull Nakano had. And
looks like the dude from System of the Down. Or, excuse me, stupid name came out of my head. She looks like the dude that plays guitar for Static X. Go with me on this. I know what I'm talking about this time. It's music, not real.
Oh, if you say so. But anyway,
yeah.
Bull Nakano, she's like one of the famous, like, back, you know, monsters, and she actually just had, like, some special ceremony in Japan where she, like, reenacted all her famous matches.
Yeah.
And one of her most famous things...
Dave was talking about that.
What's that?
I said, I remember Dave's talking. He had seen it or something on YouTube,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah. And what's funny about this is, like, okay, she was a big girl when she was a wrestler. I don't want to say she was, like, super fat or anything, but she, you know, she had some weight on her. And she had, after she left wrestling, became a pro golfer and had lost a lot of weight, like a lot of weight. And
sure,
when she knew she was going to do this show, she actually, you know, had it, like, planned or whatever, so she had enough time to gain weight. So she looked more like she did when she was a wrestler, so it would look like more, like, better when she would do the reenactments. But with one of the things she's famous for is she has the Japanese version of the Superfly Splash off the top of the cage, because she had a match with Aja Kong where she kind of like had tied down Kong, and she climbed to the top of the cage, and instead of climbing all the way out, she stopped, turned around, and she almost lost it. She almost fucking fell backwards and busted her and probably would have killed herself. And you see her, like, you know, get her balance back. And she came off the top of the cage with a leg drop on Aja Kong, which had a... I mean, it's a good thing she had some padding, because, I mean, that's going to kill your buttocks coming off the top of the cage on a leg drop. And it was just to me, it was even more impressive than the Jimmy Snuka Superfly Splash. But
okay.
She wrestled in... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. She was born January 8th, 1968. She is now 44 years old. She's billed as 200 pounds, 5'7". She resides in one Orlando, Florida, and was from Kaji... She was from Japan, everybody. And she retired in 1997.
And she worked for WWF and WCW. So,
yep.
Trent, do you have any memories of the Bull Nakano matches with Medusa or Alondra Blaze?
Yeah, I remember, I think it was at SummerSlam 94, where they had the one with the Undertaker versus Undertaker, and the Fred and Owen Hart cage match that wasn't 5 stars. I remember it on that show. They had really good chemistry together. You know, she was bigger.
Yeah.
She was much bigger, and... I just remember, like, just those punishing holds, like she'd, like a Boston Crab or something. Or I can't remember what another move was. Was it? It was kind of like something looked like a scorpion, but she looked like she bent her, like, it right in half or something like that. I can't really remember what the name of the move was. But then she'd do all those leg drops and stuff in the ring and on the outside. Yeah, they were great matches.
I have the
story
here.
I'll go ahead.
made her way to the U.S. and competed for the WWF at the time, as she debuting as an associate of Luna Vachon. Nakano competed against the WWF Women's Champion Alundra Blaze in August 1994 at SummerSlam, but failed to win the title. Nakano, however, eventually defeated Blaze for the title November 27, 1994 in Tokyo at the Big Egg Wrestling Universe event. Nakano held the title for approximately 5 months until losing it back to Alundra Blaze on April 3, 1995 on an episode of Raw. The WWF had planned on bringing in Bertha Faye to feud with Nakano while Blaze got plastic surgery on her nose and her breasts, but Nakano was found with a possession of cocaine and was quickly fired from the company.
She's lucky she got caught with that over here for WWF and not in Japan.
Right.
She's probably be in jail right now.
Yeah.
You know, they don't fuck around with marijuana and cocaine. I mean, imagine if Paul McCartney had cocaine on him instead of marijuana, you know. But that's actually kind of crazy that she got fired for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, her matches with Medusa were awesome. That's when Medusa was probably at her best before her breasts got too big, where it actually kind of, she wasn't as good as a worker as she was before. But actually, on that one cage match with her and AJ Kong, they both had, like, seconds that accompanied them to the ring, and these mm-hmm. bitches are going at it the whole time, trying to kill each other and stop them from going out of the cage. And I'm pretty sure one of them's Medusa. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, it's Medusa, like, who's in the corner of, like, Aja Kong, and she gets, you know, strapped in with the other girl that was outside.
I remember Aja Kong, they signed, like, Medusa or Alundra Blaze and Aja Kong for, like, the Royal Rumble 1 year, and then that's when Alundra Blaze left and dropped the title in the garbage can.
Yeah, like, because, well, they had, what was it, the SummerSlam, no, Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, it was like the eight-woman tag.
Okay, yeah, that's right, and it was actually kind of weird, because it's basically it's Aja Kong, and, you know, and Drew the Girl, then it's Medusa, and that anyway, Ultimate Warrior-looking chick, and then, like, two other ones, and they eliminated the two other face ones, and then Aja Kong pinned anyway, but anyway kind of was acting like she was, like, wasn't supposed to get pinned, and was, like, kind of, like, freaking out, and, like, Medusa was kind of, like, looked like she had a son, like, okay, look, you know, you fucked up, you have to, like, leave. And so it was like, I don't know what happened there, but it really looked like she got pinned when she wasn't supposed to, but it came down to Aja Kong basically giving Medusa, like, the spinning back fist, which she was famous for. And and then also, like, she had a match with, like, this, I guess, the smallest face, maybe on Raw or on one of the shows, and she basically broke her nose with the spinning back fist.
And
I know Vince wasn't happy about that, so I think that also had part of the reason they might have just, you know, dropped the whole thing, and that's when Medusa went to WCW and dropped the title in the trash can. But Aja Kong, she was actually badass. She was like half Japanese, half black, kind of short, not super fat, but just like real stocky, big old thighs and butt. And she was just like, she was the monster in Japan. I mean, I've seen some matches where, like, they what was real funny about Aja Kong was, like, you know, like when they'd be in a tag team match, and, you know, you'd have the one you know, person in the ring, and he'd have them in a hole. Like, she'd put a girl in a Boston Crab, and the other girl's partner would come in, and you know how they'd kick him to break it up? Well, she'd kick him, and Aja Kong would just not even react to it at all. And they'd kick her again, they'd kick Aja Kong again, and she'd just keep no-selling. And then, like, they'd kick her, like, 10 times, and she's still, like, and then she'd get pissed off and cinch it even more on the other girl. I mean, she was actually... She's badass. I mean, she was like the heel, but I mean, I'm a big fan of her. She was awesome. I mean, she can move for a big girl and you know, keep up with Toyota and Hokuto, and then her spinning back fist was just fucking awesome. I mean, if you think Awesome Kong's back fist is badass. I mean, hers was just, she'd kill these girls.
They should have, whenever they wanted to break it up, they should have given one of them kicks like Maeda gave to Toshu at one time.
Yeah, she'd probably know so that. I mean, she was a tough bitch.
Where they broke her, broke
yeah.
her door.
So have you found her? Have you found her Wikipedia, Craig?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got
okay.
it. I'm afraid to speak now, so. Yeah.
Why? She has an easy name to pronounce.
No, sure. Aja Kong. The biggest female wrestler to look like Big Van Vader. Just my two cents there. She debuted August 16th, 1986. She was born September 25th, 1970. She's now 41 years old. She's 5'5", 220 pounds. And I bet you she's a little bit bigger than that. Got some pretty crazy things on this. She and Awesome Kong were called Double Kong at one time when they were wrestling for Hustle. And get this, they lost their titles October 9th, 2006, to the American tag team Bubba Ray Dudley and D-Von in a three-match that also included the team of Sodom and Gomorrah. So this sounds amazing.
I don't know the Sodom and Gomorrah war, but I would love to see the Kongs wrestle Bubba and D-Von. I bet it'd be a good match because these bitches would probably be bigger than Bubba right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds awesome to me. So I'm going to try to find that in the next week for sure. Yeah, she was awesome. Like you said, they're spinning backfist. Unbelievable. And the brainbuster that she used was brutal, to say the least. Anyway, yeah, she's wrestled all over. She wrestled all Japan women. Ariya-san, Gaia, Hustle. She's awesome.
I think she's kind of like the Conan of Japan as far as like going to different companies and starting new companies up. Yeah.
I would love to see her against Cerro Del Rey. That would be phenomenal.
Actually, yeah, would actually get to be the babyface in peril for once.
Oh, look at this. December 2011, Kong took part in America's promotion Chikara on Josh Mania weekend, losing to Cerro Del Rey in the main event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You gotta find that one.
Kong defeated Hamada in the main event. On the third and final night of the tour, Kong teamed with this other chick, and that was the Toyota, when they brought in Toyota. So, yeah. There you go. Cerro Del Rey and Aja Kong has been a match in Chicago.
Now from the files of something has nothing to do with anything. I was flipping around on YouTube some more. I found a video about Jeff Jarrett's victory over Eric Embry for the world-class light heavyweight title. And it's the song in the video is One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. This is awesome. God, these videos used to be so gay.
That's actually funny. But going back to Aja Kong, on the one cage match with her and Bull Nakano, there's actually like a part of the match where basically Aja Kong throws like over 20 backfists in a row. Basically, she would backfist Bull Nakano. Bull Nakano would take a bump. She'd get up. She'd get backfisted, take a bump, and it was funny because I think Aja Kong actually blew up before Bull Nakano did. Because some of those backhands started to go kind of slow. But Bull would still take the bump and get back up. And then she still takes some good ones here and there. But it was actually awesome. I mean, it was just like spinning backfist after spinning backfist. It was just crazy. That's a crazy match. I mean, if you want to see a girls have a real hardcore match, and I mean hardcore because this match is crazy. Find the Bull Nakano Aja Kong cage match, and it is freaking insane. But I'm trying to think of anyone. I'll go ahead, Trent.
No, it's me. I was just going to say, are we done with this topic?
Possibly. Well, I want to let me just draw out some matches where everyone, if you want to check out and see some awesome matches. I mean,
sure.
Like I say, the cage match was them. Toyota and Akira Hokuto had an awesome match where basically it ends where Toyota basically gives her, like, it looks like she's going for a body slam, but it turns it into, like, a brain buster. I mean, it's actually pretty sick. And she gave her two of them, and that's an awesome one. There's three separate matches with Toyota and Yamada against Kensai and Ozaki that are just, I think all three of them got ranked 5 stars, so those are, like, definitely ones to check out. And check out the Hokuto versus Ken Dori, or I don't even know if I'm even saying that close to right. That is badass. And if you want to see a whole lot of women's matches, find the Devil Miz on YouTube, and he's got, like, about 600 matches, or 600 videos. So, I mean, he's got basically all the major ones. But what I want to talk about is, read this real quick. Craig, do you remember Toyota's finishing maneuver? She kind of, like, gets her arms in a straight position and give him, like, an electric chair, but she would bridge into it and pin him off of that. I mean, it's an awesome, incredible move, and I can't believe that I don't see anyone copying it.
Well, I mean, you could kill a person doing the move. I can't remember. There's a name for the move, and I heard it years ago, but yeah, that's a dangerous move, man.
It didn't look too dangerous when she did it.
If you do it on a big man instead of a small Asian woman, you're going to hurt somebody.
That's true, but I've seen her do it to Asia Kong. that move was just awesome. I mean, like I say, I can't believe, especially you got all these psychopaths like Davey Richards out there. It's surprising, you know, it hasn't been done more. But I guess I can see your point about it, fucking somebody up, especially if they do it wrong. And she was pretty good at bridging. I mean, like, one of her big things was when they'd be doing a near fall, and she would bridge out, like, you know.
Yeah.
She did more bridges than Crispin Wall would do bridges in matches.
And to echo your statement of great All Japan wrestling, All Japan women's wrestling, check out Dream Slam 1 and also Dream Slam 2. There's actually a First Blood match on one of these. I can't remember exactly where it was on the card, but yeah, it's great stuff. I mean, it's been, unfortunately, probably 10 years since I've seen it, but yeah, it's great wrestling, and you know, you see a lot of guys mimic a lot of the moves that they pulled off back in the day now. So, yeah, go out of your way to check it out. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that the Double Miz on YouTube, he actually has both Dream Slams, and they're like, it's weird because I didn't know you could do YouTube videos this long. They're both like 5 hours long.
Whew.
I mean, and you got the one girl from, I can't say her name, from the Crush Girls, the one that's like the trainer. She has, like, a good match with Bull Nakano on the second one. And then they have the awesome Toyota Yamada Kensai and her partner match, which is fantastic. Shit, the opening match on Dream Slam 2 is a 5-star match, and it's, like, two, like, young girls, you know? I mean, yeah, those two takes are awesome. It might take you a couple days to watch them, but, yeah, they're freaking awesome. There's one match where there's, like, they got this one tiny, tiny little girl dressed like a clown, and she's taking on the Inoues and this other girl who's, like, kind of like Yamada, who are, like, just throws a lot of, or Kensai, who likes to throw a lot of, like, really devastating kicks. Mm-hmm. And they beat the living shit out of this little clown. I'm sure you remember that match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I was back in the day when I was tape trading. And, you know, I ordered these two tapes from this guy. And the package comes, and it's literally, it's six VHS tapes. like, what in the world? You know, how long are these events? And then, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're, yeah, so you can build a, you can waste a complete Saturday afternoon watching these shows. But, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. But it's worth it because it's some damn good shit. I mean, it's just, it's really, really good and stuff. But I guess we can wrap it up since, you know, we've reached the limits of what you guys could probably talk about.
Oh, and beyond, let's be honest.
Right. So that's pretty good.
I found a decent wrestling video with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat's Final Countdown. Remember that one?
I love how Couture is just finding wrestling stuff besides what we're talking about. Of course, I do that all the time, so.
Well, he can
see that Final Countdown video with the Flair and Steamboat?
No. What's it called again, Couture? I'm sorry.
The Final Countdown, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
It was right before their final match in 1989 in Nashville when they were doing their series of matches.
And it's the, what, the Final Countdown?
Yeah.
See, that's blasphemy. The only person I can listen to that music is Daniel Bryan.
Thank you.
It would be so awesome if they let him use that music in the WWE.
Yeah.
That'd be so fucking great. But we're down to about 9 minutes here. Let me get the plug out of the way already. Everyone check out angrymerch.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymerch.com along with a lot of other shows, including the Angry Merch show and a few other shows. I think Alex Koff got the show on there. So give him a listen. He finally has like 5 listeners anyway. But yeah, everyone check out angrymerch.com. And also you can see our shows at blogtalkradio.com. What is it, /Couture?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can also go back and find even older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And, yeah, please check out our shows. And if you're listening to our shows, if you want to spread the word of our show, send reviews or topics to the Cut and Paste website to help promote the show. We're actually doing, like, some all-time high numbers the past 5 weeks on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what the hell happened. Just like tripled, so yeah, it's actually cool. So thank everyone who's been listening the last few weeks. We really appreciate it, and we will continue to hopefully have some more awesome shows in the future, and hopefully Craig will be able to book some guests in the future.
That Brock Lesnar and Ryback got in a fight. Those types
Ooh.
Of fights too.
Sweet.
You know, and they credited everyone credited to WrestlingObserver.com for
mm-hmm.
some reason. Even though they didn't report it. And then I guess, like, I saw, like, one guy on Facebook, he sent a message to one of the people who, like, reported it, and he's saying, your link is to Bloody Elbow, not WrestlingObserver.com. You know, or something. But yeah, somehow they got credit for that. The story didn't even happen, you know. And
yeah.
I would say it's a good thing for Ryback that it didn't happen, because I'm sure Brock would kick his ass. You know, even though Ryback's a big dude. But, yeah, supposedly they got into it and Brock took him down and went for his eye and beat him up, and supposedly he was going to have, like,
and
a black eye.
His eye was pretty red in his little promo he did.
Hmm.
If you remember, on Monday.
Yeah, but I'm sure if Brock got a hold of him, he'd have more than just a little red eye.
I don't know. He probably beat Brock's ass.
I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, I was actually kind of... So that was actually funny that he got... that it was credited to Dave.
Did you find something, Craig?
Oh, yeah. I'm watching the Final Countdown with
Flair and Steamboat.
It's flipping awesome.
Told you.
Great. But, not to be outdone by the one sexy man, Joey Tempest, the lead singer of Europe. That was a handsome man right there.
Yeah, he had pretty cool hair.
Oh, man, I had a buddy in high school, Jim Lamson. We were talking that these girls we used to party with, they had a big huge poster of Joey Tempest on the wall, and they were talking about, oh, Jim looks just like Joey Tempest. He come around the corner holding the beer, and he heard, you know, heard, oh, Jim looks just like Joey Tempest, and he looks at the poster, he looks at the girl, and he goes, girl looks like a fag. And, Jim, I know you're drunk, so let's think about this. Anyway, yeah, this is an amazing video. So, yeah, YouTube, Flair Steamboat, Final Countdown. This is a great video. Oh, also, while I'm on a roll, I just want to send a personal shout-out to one Scott Jilai, Highlight, whatever you want to say, Mr. Sir Highlight. He hooked me up with a favor, and I appreciate it very much, sir. You are a god among men.
So what was the favor?
Well, he got me a hotel
room. Probably personal.
He got me a hotel room and a car for the going to see a Pearl Jam show, so I'm very excited about it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I should have known it had something to do with Pearl Jam.
Well.
Europe was better than Pearl Jam.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Neither was better than Pearl Jam Striper.
Hmm.
Yeah, what?
They were... First concert was home.
You got, yeah, I bet you could like vinyl. Do you have the Striper white album, Craig?
No, I've got the, what the one is it? It's, To Hell with the Devil.
Okay, I got that one too.
Talk about Soldiers,
yeah,
Under Command.
Cool.
Soldiers
Under Command, the album is white. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's on Pearl vinyl, yeah. Yeah, I got in trouble for that when I was a kid because I wasn't allowed. My parents were very religious, believe it or not. And anyway, I got in trouble because they found that album, and my dad goes, "Look at a bunch of fags." I said, "They're Christians, Dad." You don't understand, Dad. Yeah, anyway.
Well, they were Christians. I remember I went and saw them at a concert, and basically, it's like the same people who go to all the, you know, rock concerts at the time, and you have all these guys dressed like freaking bikers or dirties or hard asses or whatever you want to call them, and all these fools are fighting over the Bible they would throw out to the audience.
Yeah. That was good stuff.
They were awesome.
Their one ballad, Honestly, oh, just brought a tear to my eye every time I heard it.
Dude, they had a lot of awesome fucking songs. I could probably, I still know all the words to Soldiers Under Command. But speaking of, check this out, Craig. Check this out. Dude, tell me if you ever had went to a concert that was this good of a deal. Okay. For $5.
Okay.
$5. I saw, okay, the opening band, which their album hadn't even come out yet. It was still like about 3 weeks before they released the first video, and that was Poison.
Mm.
All right. Second band, their album had just been out for about a month, and it was badass, and that band was Cinderella.
Sweet.
And the headliner was brought all the way in from Japan, by the way, and that was Loudness.
Loudness?
So, with that badass guitar player who we were wearing, me and the guitar player were wearing the exact same pants, so I had on some rattlesnake fur pants on that for that show. Don't ask me why, but I had some back then.
I loved Roudness back in the day.
Oh, yeah. What's the song, Hang On, or what was it? Fuck.
Oh, darn it.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. I was freaking awesome. So Loudness, Cinderella, and Poison, $5.
You're saying it real wrong. It's Roudness.
That's just racist, Craig.
Well, I'm just saying. the big money one that we went and saw, it was like $20 to go to, but it was this band called the Bullet Boys, whose singer was channeling David Lee Roth. They had the big hit "Smooth Up In Ya." That was a great song. Bullet Boys, a great band that gets no respect, and why should they? Winger. And then
Winger
the
was actually pretty cool. He got hated on, but I liked Winger.
Yeah. Their guitar player is Red Beach. He was phenomenal. And the headliner was one Cinderella, and it was on the Long Cold Winter tour. And that was a great show. Not to be outdone, 2 months later, it was Firehouse, Warrant, and Winger. And that was an amazing show as well.
I went to a show, I can't remember one of the acts, but I can't remember like the second one, but the opening act was also from Japan, EZO.
I remember them.
That Heart Attack. And I think it was actually Queensryche was the headliner.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Brian doesn't have any musical knowledge or taste. I'll just be honest with you, but that's probably his favorite, quote unquote, heavy band.
He doesn't have knowledge of wrestling. He's been have knowledge of music.
Yeah, I know.
I like how we got Vinny singing and Brian playing the guitar every month like we're supposed to.
Oh yeah, you know it was even better. I actually, I said I'll give you guys a hand, and I'll bring my guitar. And I'll play the lead, and Brian, you can just follow along, and this, that, and the other thing. And I sat in the corner with my guitar, watching them perform "Walk the Line." So happy! Like, why did I drive? I was gonna kill him anyway. Yeah. So.
What was that one of the questions? If you ever wanted to kill Brian, I would say you probably want to kill Brian every time you see him.
That's not completely true. I'm trying to somehow find a way to tolerate him. No, that's not fair. I'm not going to get into it. Brian and I are on speaking terms, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Oh, well. Anyway, it's... I couldn't imagine living with Brian or being that close to him or seeing him all that time. It's hard enough dealing with him for like 7 days out of the year.
Oh, dude, I haven't. Brian lives 45 minutes away from me. I haven't seen him since the last pay per view, which was. What was the last pay per view? Last WWE pay per view was. Money in the Bank. Yeah, I haven't seen and/or talked to him since then.
Are you going to see him Sunday?
No. No, I'm not. I might see him the Sunday after that because it's Super China Buffet Day. By the way, if you're in the Seattle area, we got big doings for the Super China Buffet Day this year. I'm excited. Apparently, a gentleman has offered up his home in the Seattle area, but also he is the manager of a Cold Stone and has offered to take us there and let us, molest the... Cold Stone Bar. So I'm very excited for this.
I know. It almost makes me want to fly out there for that.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome. So, yes, we were talking last night on where we're going to eat, and he was being Vinny. And so I don't know where we're going, but it doesn't matter. We're going to Cold Stone afterwards. Heck, let's just go to Cold Stone.
Right? That'll be Super Santa Buffet Day. It'll just be a buffet of ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome.
I could deal with that.
Oh, yeah.
But,
okay.
I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show unless you had anything else you want to talk about for sure.
No, I'm going to get some sleep. Going down to the VFW tomorrow. Ricky Dozan's working a show here in Dallas. So.
Well, try and get a picture so we can put it on Facebook.
Sure.
I have.
Can I do a music podcast instead of this? Something I know and kind of care about. No, I'm just lying.
We only fuck with you because we like you. If we didn't like you, we wouldn't even waste time with you.
And the board and everybody on Facebook. Yeah, it's going to be a stellar week for me. And I had just come back from, utter ruin. I thought people were forgetting. But
so,
no.
Who told you that they were Pocatello?
I just got the name wrong. That's all. I just got
it
the name wrong.
It has to do with those names. Those names are like eye charts.
Yes. Yeah. And my buddy Charlie,
He must have asked one of the guys from Tele that mentioned it or something, and he goes, oh, yeah, don't you remember when I wrestled the Curious?
Yeah. No, one of my buddies, Charlie, I went to high school with him. He does all the videos for Tulalip. And I just read one of his descriptions after I typed her name in Bing. So he was talking about the other girl and how she had wrestled. Anyway, so on the Bing description, it said Tulalip Championship Wrestling had her name in it. So I put two and two together and came up wrong. So there you go.
I'll give her credit, even you know, because she's older now, but and she's still pretty hot. But I remember when she first came out, I mean, she was like the hottest girl on the American scene for a while. I mean, she was pretty damn hot. It's a shame she had to get old.
Agreed.
But anyway, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. I really don't have anything else to talk about. So come back next week. We'll figure out something to talk about. And or maybe even have a guest.
Sure.
Knows. And we will see everybody next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook him up.
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out there.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.